Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Petterzelka.
Well, it's the end of the year and we're right going to start off a brand new year, Jan.
I know. Where did the time go, Denise? It's crazy, but it's been a great year.
Yeah, it's been really a great year and we're looking to a bigger and better 2017.
Absolutely.
We know there's a lot of folks continuing to be really interested in home gardening and we have a great opportunity for anybody that's interested in learning more about gardening without having to go through the volunteer program. And this is the Home Gardening in El Paso course offered at EPCC.
It is awesome. Of course, I'm an instructor, so I can say that. But I won't be teaching this semester, but we have got a great lineup of phenomenal instructors. And it's perfect for those people that, like you say, don't want to make a career out of gardening, like some of the master gardeners have, but just that basic knowledge of what to do and when to do it. And we hit it all in this class.
Right, exactly. And there's a lot of times that people want to learn more about it. They don't have that time to be able to commit to be a volunteer. So this is a great opportunity. If you're willing to commit to 8 Saturday mornings, starting on January 21st, running until March the 11th, you sign up for this Home Gardening in El Paso class. It's held at EPCC Valle Verde campus. Every Saturday that you walk in, you're going to get a new Master Gardener instructor and a new topic.
Absolutely.
Everything that these master gardeners, because they're El Paso master gardeners, are going to share with you is going to be information, plant material, techniques, everything tailored to grow successful plants in El Paso soils.
And I think that's the key. It's all about El Paso because what we do in New Hampshire or Georgia is very different from what we do in El Paso. And that has been the greatest accolade that we've had after these classes. I've learned so much on how to do things here. And wherever you live, that's a great opportunity. And it's a really a minimal investment. It's 2 hours on those Saturdays. And just get that on your schedule and you'll really reap the benefits in your spring garden.
Exactly. So you have not received your El Paso Community College schedule in your local newspaper. Don't worry. Everything is up on the Good to Grow page and you get that information to sign up. Classes start January 21st.
Absolutely. And come on down and join us. You won't regret it.
Well, one thing I think master gardeners or gardeners in general are looking at is anticipating what kind of January we're going to have. And historically, January is our coldest month on the calendar.
Absolutely.
So what we're looking at for is we don't know what kind of year we're getting ourselves into. Around this time last year, we had 6 inches of snow in the ground. You remember that?
That's that white stuff that falls out of the sky that we're not really accustomed to.
Right, exactly.
But it's certainly beneficial to our plants.
Definitely. And we are in the desert as well. And, you know, our elevation at 3,800 feet, we do get quite cold during the winter time. And it's really one thing to be able to look to protect any kind of tender plants that we may have in the garden.
Right. And there's a variety of ways to do it. I look out in my garden this time of the year and it kind of looks like a tent city because I use a variety of things. I have a lot of containers and then I have, of course, a lot of plants in the ground as well. But with containers, especially if you've got the great big ones that you can't bring into your garage or a protected area in your patio, perhaps you've even got a greenhouse, you can wrap those pots in bubble wrap and then follow it up with newspaper. And that really helps to insulate that root ball. And don't worry so much about what's going on top. You're going to lose your leaves more than likely, and that's okay. As long as you've got that, if that root ball is healthy and warm, then it should make it for spring. And, you know, come March, you're going to see little tendrils peeking out again. And I have some plants that have come back year after year, even some that are classified as annuals can actually be perennials here in El Paso because we do have such a mild climate. But January is a cold month.
Right. No, definitely. And when you're looking at that, and the biggest thing to remember is that when you protect your plant, you want to make sure that you have some air exchange. What happens is a lot of times we have very cold days, but the sun is shining. Mm-hmm. And essentially, if you have a thick plastic covering your plants, you're essentially making like a greenhouse for this plant. And there's no way that that warm air that gets heated up anywhere else to go. So sometimes you can actually scald your plants, believe it or not. So you want to make sure you have a nice breathable fabric. You can use burlap. It's really hard to find nowadays because it's very few things that are covered or shipped in exactly. burlap. But if you can look at some older repurposed sheets or very thin towels, those are great things to be able to use because it'll protect your plant from the frost, but still allow for that warm air to kind of escape.
Exactly. And I use sheets are one of my favorites. My husband is really good. One time he picked up an old parachute for me at a garage sale. Yeah. And it has been, it's huge. It's nice and big. I have a cast iron bathtub that is actually a planter. So guess where the parachute goes every year?
And that's really neat because it's lightweight
it
fabric.
It is. And it breathes. It breathes. And like you say, that's the plastic can really be a problem. I mean, if you've got a greenhouse, your plants normally aren't going to be right up against that plastic of the greenhouse or the, you know, the plastic wall or whatever the greenhouse. But when you've got things wrapped in plastic, then you're going to run that risk of burning that plant. And remember, don't just cover up the leaves. You want to keep that root ball. That's, you know, there's a riot going on underneath there.
Right, exactly.
So you want to make sure that and I've always been confused, and I'll have you explain, since you're the mm-hmm. hoard agent, about the importance of watering your plant if it's the day of a freeze.
Right. No, definitely. And this is especially true when you have container plants. We don't have the luxury of being in a buffered soil. You know, our soil is able to buffer a lot of temperatures, a lot of water conditions, but especially when you're in a container plant, what you want to do is you want to make sure that those roots are nice and hydrated. Essentially, what's going to happen is that if your cells of your plant are dehydrated or don't have enough water on there, they tend to shrink. And when that cold temperature sets in, they're more willing to explode.
Okay, so they're more susceptible to damage?
To damage on that as well. Now, if they're hydrated, then those plant cells are nice and plump and firm, and it's able to withstand those temperature fluctuations. So believe it or not, the hydration of the cells is really what we're looking for on that, because you don't want them to collapse. And a lot of times if you have a freeze-damaged plant, the leaves kind of feel goopy.
Yeah, they get almost sticky.
And that's what happens is all of these plant cells just kind of exploded on you.
And they're like,
so
wait, what's going on?
Yeah, keep them nice and keep them hydrated. Mm-hmm. A lot of areas where they'll do a lot of cultivation and some orchards, especially on citrus, is what they'll do is they'll put a fine mist of water or sprinkler
spray it
on there when there's a susceptible freeze forecasted. And essentially what happens is that when that water goes from a liquid to a solid, it sends out some heat as energy. So that is what acts as an insulator for the plant itself. So it's an interesting way for growers to avoid frost.
And that's one of those things I think as a home gardener, because I remember the first time I heard that and I thought, what? This doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have to make sense. Just do it.
Right.
Denise said.
There is a science
to it. And it does make a difference. Another thing that I found with, for instance, I've got some bougainvilleas, a really, really pretty one that's quite tall. And you can use like Christmas lights if you still have them out. Maybe you don't want to tuck them away yet. Just leave them out of your attic and accessible to the garage, and that puts off some heat as well. So that helps for your plant to stay warm. Mulching things. Mm-hmm. I know I'm a real tidy Heidi, so when things start to freeze back on the top of the ground, I get out and I think I've got to trim everything. Lantana is a good example. I have gotten to the point where I leave my lantana, even though it doesn't look really pretty, because my theory is that it is serving as a blanket.
Right, and you're exactly right on that. Those dead leaves and those twigs that have died back on there are actually serving as a buffer or a mulch, if you will. Mm-hmm. And standard practice is really not to be able to remove any of those ornamental grasses
right.
or flowering bushes like lantana that you mentioned until you start seeing the signs of spring growth or
exactly.
new growth. And then that way, you don't have to go out there and do double work. You don't have
exactly.
to put a protective cover on there and take it off.
Mm-hmm. Just have to be patient.
Yeah, just be patient and let it do its thing, and it's there for a reason, and let it work with you. And there's people that, you know, can certainly buy some row cover fabric
exactly.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
And those are usually sold in like, you know, 10-foot sections, and they're sold by the weight. So it's ounces.
I think it's 1.3 ounces
yeah.
that is the general recommendation for frost covers. you know, you can buy some lighter ones for the summer to protect from the wind and the heat. But this time of the year, you want a little heavier. And there's even some that are out there in the grocery store, Denise, that I have seen and I've purchased before. And they've worked very well because that's breathable fabric.
Right,
but
exactly.
But you can create your own hoop house with this fabric that you purchased and some PVC and a little ingenuity.
Exactly.
If you don't have a greenhouse or if you want a vegetable, say, you know, you want to do your winter vegetable gardening. And we're lucky here because we generally don't have those freezes. And I don't think it's so much that it freezes. It has to do with how long that temperature stays down. Right. Everybody's like, oh, it's going to be 28 degrees tonight. Well, perhaps so, but if it's going to be between 3 and 4 in the morning, you're probably going to be okay.
Right.
It's when those temperatures are low and sustained for, like we did on our freeze, what, 2011?
Correct.
When the temperatures were down around zero for almost 72 hours. That's when your damage occurs.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, just never mind if it's going to be a light freeze. Know your plants, know your material, and know exactly, you know, what you're at that critical threshold. You're seeing more and more plants. A lot of times plants, when we look at the store and we always talk about our zones, they're always based on the low temperatures as well. So we're zone 8A, and essentially it just depends on how conservative you want to be. If you want to have some tropical plants, I've seen a lot of marginally tolerant plants in our area.
Exactly.
But you got to make sure that it's in the right location. So because that microclimate is going to be whether you're going to have a successful tropical plant or not.
Exactly. And that's many of your succulents are that way. And so this is a time for most of them to be sure that they are protected. I've even resorted to, I have a nice pop-up greenhouse and I put a lot of them in there, but some of them are more susceptible. So I'll actually put a sheet over them and they do beautifully. They're dormant in the winter. So don't be pouring a lot of water on them. This is the time to stress them a little bit, and they will come back and reward you in the spring. Many of them will bloom, and they will be healthy and ready to go. And if you've got concrete or rock walls, those retain the heat, and that's very helpful as well. So think about where you're putting those things and where you're putting your plants.
Exactly, and where you're going to put them for to overwinter.
Exactly, exactly. And don't forget to check your irrigation supplies as well, because they're also susceptible to freeze. That's probably a whole other show that we could talk about them, but it is something to think about. Out
right.
As the weather gets cooler.
Most definitely. Well, we're right in the middle of winter. We've had the first official day of winter back on December 21st. So let's see what the rest of the January has in store for us. But I know that we're all itching to get out there. But make sure that you protect your plants so they can continue to reward you in this seasons
Absolutely.
To come.
And protect yourself as well. And that patience will serve you well. It's a time of dormancy for all of us. We all need a little rest.
Well, we want to thank you for listening to Good to Grow. If you have any questions for the Master Gardeners, please visit them at txmg.org, El Paso. Or if not, give them a call at the Master Gardener Help Desk at 771-2354. And we want to thank Evan Walsh for producing and engineering today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.